We were in Tracy a couple weeks ago, my daughter and I, Trinity. She's my teenage daughter, Trinity. There she is. Say hi. I had just bought a new guitar. We were downtown. There was a coffee shop in Old Town Tracy. I was looking for some guitar strings. I walked in and saw this beautiful used guitar for $99. So I thought, wow, let's just buy a new guitar. Then I don't even have to string it up. So we bought this guitar and we were walking down the street with it. We had played some jokes with some of the people. I walked up, you know, to a group of ladies. My daughter was with me. And I said, hey, we were hired by your husbands to sing you a song. Which song do you want us to sing? And they were like, oh my gosh, did you know it was my graduation today? And I said, oh yes, I did. So we had a little fun there. Then we walked down the street and there was a man that was sitting on a park bench. And he saw me holding the guitar. And he says, can you sing me a song? And I said, absolutely. And I said, I don't know the chords because I just bought this guitar. I've never tried to play this song, but I know a song. And he said, oh, what kind of songs do you sing? And I said, well, I sing songs from the Bible. So I started singing this song to him. And the guy wasn't in a very good state. I don't know exactly what his position was, drugs or alcohol, but he wasn't in a, you know, sober state, let's put it that way. And so about midway through, he stopped me and he said, let me see that guitar. And I said, okay, you play, I'll sing, and you play. You'll hear the tune and you play. And so he, you know, a couple of seconds later, he's like, I can't sing that song. I sing sad songs. And I said, why do you sing sad songs? And he said, I can only sing what's in my heart. And so he sang this terrible song. Trinity was there to endure it. She'll have 6 months of counseling to recover from just that one song. But we can change the way we feel by what we say, right? If I look at you and I say, you look beautiful today. You did a great job up there. You know, thank you for going up there and, you know, taking a risk and being in front of a room full of people. I can say those words, right? And I can maybe change the way somebody feels. Can I change the way I feel by singing the words of Jesus, by speaking the words of Jesus? That's what that song's all about. We sing and we speak to determine how we feel, not the other way around. You know, the world will tell us, you know, sing a sad song. You know, the old adage is if you sing a country song backwards, you get your house back, your wife back, and your dog back. You've all heard that, right? But when we sing the words of Jesus, we get life, right? Ephesians 5:19 through 20. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you guys get to know me well, I sing a lot, and it's not pretty. But the words are. That passage is the passage that we're going to look at today in Matthew 11:28. I'll just read that again. But before I do, let's pray. Father, thank you for this chance to share your words and speak your words and sing your words, Lord. Ask that you give us peace as you intended to give us through these words, Lord. Ask that you be with Pastor Ryan and Aubrey, bring them home safely. And I thank you for the veterans this weekend, Lord. We remember them this Memorial Day for their sacrifice, and they fought so hard for our freedom. Ask that you give me words to speak today that are your words and not mine. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Matthew 11:28, if you have your Bibles open. How many of you use the Bible app on your phones? You guys use that? I brought my Bible. I had to like dust off the dust because I normally use my phone app. The Bible app has every translation that you can imagine, every language that you can imagine. I sometimes listen to my Bible in Jamaican. no joke, just for fun, to hear what it sounds like. I wrote a song that is kind of a Jamaican song. I'm not going to sing it today. I'll save that for a different day. But you can actually play your Bible, and it will actually play for you. Did you guys know that? Yeah, you just push play. Here, watch. You go to the app.
Chapter 24. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these?"
So it just plays for you. You can play it on your phone. You can play it on your computer. So I try to listen to the Bible twice a year. And if you try to read the Bible twice a year, that's a difficult task. But if you try to, if you listen to the Bible twice a year, it's actually pretty easy. You just play it while you're doing your work. You play it while you're sometimes taking a shower or whatever you're doing. You just can just play it and listen to it. My aunt likes to play it while she's asleep, and that's her, you know, that's her sleeping stuff. So Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to read it again. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus is the first part of that, verse 28. Jesus tells us to come to him. What soothing words are those? What are the different ways we can come to Jesus?
Prayer.
We can come in prayer just by speaking to the Lord. Singing, my favorite method. We can read our Bibles. We can listen to our Bibles. We can be in fellowship with other believers while we're talking about what did they learn. As I shared a couple weeks ago, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Us, the church. As I experience Christ and share my testimony, you get to experience something new. When you share your testimony with me, I experience, you know, what Christ is in your life. When I, you know, talk to you and you experience what Christ is doing in your life, I get to experience him that way. So being in fellowship with one another is so very important. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Wow. Jeremiah was a prophet. We're not going to go into Jeremiah right now, but Jeremiah was a prophet. Did everybody like what Jeremiah had to say? Did anybody like what Jeremiah had to say? Not really. He was not liked. He was beaten. All the other prophets opposed him and said, "No, that's not from the Lord." They threw him into a pit to die. He was not somebody that was well liked. He really needed to hear from the Lord. Spurgeon, the great preacher, once said, Jesus is calling us to him, not to doctrine, not to ordinance, nor ministry are we to first come, but to the personal Savior of Jesus Christ. There seems to be a specific call to the weary and heavy laden here. So I want to ask you guys, who is weary and heavy laden? Just to share an example, I remember September 11th, 2001. Do you guys remember that day? Yeah, I bet you do. I remember waking up. I worked at a company in Cupertino at the time. And I remember doing my normal morning routine, which was to watch Katie Couric on the Today Show, Matt Lowry, who I think has been canceled now, I'm not sure, but... And then the other guy, I forget that guy's name. But I used to watch that every morning before work as I was drinking my coffee. And I remember, as you all do, watching in horror as the planes hit the World Trade Center, thinking, what is going on? Are we at war? And it was a terrifying day that is stained in my memory. And as the days went by, we start to understood what happened, that our country was attacked by terrorists. But weeks went by, months went by, there was some healing, and we were able to slowly move on, never forgetting those that were lost, but we were able to find healing and move on. But I want you to think about and remember the way you felt that day and the days after that, the anxiety, the burden. The last 18 months have been fantastic for everybody, right? Is that true? I remember last year around, you know, April time frame, my wife and I, that's my wife Natasha there, the beautiful lady in the blue shirt. We would lay in bed staring at the ceiling thinking, is this actually happening? Or is this like a dream? And we would go for drives, and I compare that because what we went through the last 18 months, was that traumatic for anybody? And it went day after day, week after week, month after month, long after we were tired and weary. When I watch the news every morning, I feel refreshed. Is that the right word? Did you watch the news this morning? I hope you didn't. I'm not going to tell you about it. But when you get home, you'll find some things that happened today that weren't good. You'll find things that happened yesterday. Someday I want to wake up and turn on the news. Lost puppy dog found. Little child happy. Marriage is restored. But we don't see that. We don't see that. We live in a world that is very heavy, very weary. And unless we come to Jesus, we're going to find ourselves in a very exhausted place. How about being parents? Is there any handbook for parents how to raise perfect children? If so, please give it to me, because I have four, and you know, I'm just fumbling my way through. What about when kids get older and they're adults? Does all the stress go away? Please say yes. Please say yes. Please, is that true? That's not true either. My oldest is 15 and a half, but I know from talking to other people that one brother of mine described it recently, when your adult children mess up, as a feeling of helplessness. Because you want the best for them, you still love them, you know the right things to do, but you're helpless to do it for them. I tell this to new parents that have new little babies at home. Our first baby was Trinity, and I remember going home from the hospital. We stayed at the hospital as long as we could until they just kicked us out. Hey, you guys got to go. And we're like, hey, is the nurse coming with us? I mean, what's going on here? And so we get home, and I remember holding this baby thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Like, and, you know, through, you know, a series of weeks, falling down the stairs, all kinds of crazy things, we managed to make it through. But those of us in this room know that's actually the easy part of parenting. Right? Don't you long for those days when you could hold that baby in your arms and that was all you had to do? Some people say no, but I think that was the easy part. So we have a lot of things in this world that make it difficult. Did Jesus know that? Yes, he did. I wanted to go back for a second. How about guilt? A feeling of separation from God. When we do bad things, do we feel separated from God? Like we pushed him away, and then we wonder, well, how do I get back? I was reading in Genesis chapter 3, the account of Adam and Eve. God put him in a perfect environment with delicious foods, and he gave them one rule. What was that rule? Don't eat of this one tree, for on the day you do, you shall surely die. And what did they do? I imagine they stood around it, looked at it, thought about it. Man, I wonder, this looks really good. And eventually they fell victim to temptation. They ate of the fruit. And I think this is the way we respond sometimes. Did they immediately call on the Lord and say, oh, help us, we sinned, we ate this fruit? No, they hid. They hid behind the trees in the garden. In chapter 3, verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And that's what the whole Bible is about. The whole rest of the Bible is about God's redemptive plan for man. So the next part of our passage in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So I think everybody can picture a yoke. You put a yoke on oxen to do some work, and I imagine they're very heavy. The first question, so I polled some people that were not Christians, and I asked them about this. And the first question they had is, "Why do I need to wear a yoke?" That's a valid question. Jesus said his yoke is light. Well, I don't want any yoke. Is that possible to do? When Adam and Eve made a decision to sin, they put on that yoke of death. And only the redemptive power through Jesus Christ can resolve that. So we're all going to wear some kind of a yoke. Sometimes it's your job. People, I mean, it's very popular amongst men. I think women do better at this than men, honestly. But we wear the mantle of our job, and we wear it through our entire lives. And you see men oftentimes when they retire, they look at their wife and they say, "Okay, now what? That's where my identity was. That's where my heart was." That's a yoke. That's something leading you and directing your life other than Jesus. What about our emotions? Is our emotions truthful to us? Not usually. I can watch a good PG&E commercial and feel some emotions about some bird that's at the top of a pole. So our emotions are not always, they're not always truthful to us. So what is our souls? This word here at the very end, "and you will find rest for your souls." Like, what is our soul? Like, I can see my hand. I can feel my heart. I hope. Yeah, there it is. I can feel my heart. Where exactly is my soul? Well, it's commonly understood to be our mind, emotions, our will or self, our person, our personality. Kind of all of those things lumped together. Well, what is our spirit? Well, Jesus says, spirit gives birth to spirit and flesh gives birth to flesh. Our spirit is how we contact Jesus through the Holy Spirit, the mingling of our human spirit and the Holy Spirit. But everything about you that gets tired, does our spirit die? No, it doesn't. I played kickball last week. Actually, we're starting a semi-professional kickball club locally with some of the kids. And the next day, my body was very tired. My knees were hurting. My back was hurting. And so our bodies get tired. Our bodies wear out. My grandfather told me, one of the scariest things that I've ever heard was from my grandfather. He said, "You never feel older. You just look in the mirror and realize that you're getting old." And I said, "Grandpa, I wish you wouldn't have told me that." And I bet you all are wishing I wouldn't have said that now. Sorry about that. But isn't that true? Like, I still feel, I don't know, 30. I act like I'm 15 most of the time, if you ask my wife. But we never, that thing inside of us, that doesn't get old. Right? We look in the mirror and we see gray hair, and we see that we're getting older. And Jesus says, you will find rest for your souls. You know, I thought about, well, how do I do that? You know, like I talked about, you know, reading the Bible, spending time in prayer. How about being quiet? Jesus gave us an example of constantly going off and praying by himself to find a quiet place. It's very loud in this world, isn't it? It's very loud, especially nowadays with all of our wonderful technologies. I was driving on a road. I can't remember the name of the road. Between Amador City and Sutter Creek. There's a road, a back road. I don't know what it's called. I can't remember. And we were driving out there with some friends last weekend. And we pulled over at this little creek that I used to drive through with my parents' car in high school over and over again when it was full of water. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're watching. And so we stopped and pulled over, and I was talking to my friend, and I said, do you remember when life was quiet? When I was a teenager, I would drive out to that spot, and I would get out and do things the teenagers did, throw rocks, whatever, play in the water. And I knew with absolute certainty that nobody knew where I was. Nobody could contact me. There was no information. I had no pager, no cell phone, no nothing. It was quiet. And I think we got to reproduce that somehow. Find a quiet place and speak to the Lord. And we'll find rest for our souls. That's the only place we're going to find rest. Because you won't find rest in this world. That's good. I'll go through this quick. We have a few more minutes. We see in Matthew 27, verse 51, a beautiful picture when Jesus died on the cross. The veil in the temple was torn in two. This is in verse 51. And for those of you that know your Old Testament, the veil of the temple was what separated the Holy of Holies. And only the chief priest could go in there. And this was a visual representation of the separation between God and man. But when Jesus died, that was gone. We don't need a high priest because Jesus is our high priest. We go directly to him. We often think about, or maybe you guys don't, but we feel like we have to get ourselves aligned. Well, let me just get myself straightened out, and then I'll go to Jesus. Let me just, stop doing this sin. Or let me just start this behavior, and then I'll go to Jesus. And that's the wrong order. That's the wrong order, isn't it? Take my yoke and learn. Luke 23:39 shows the best example of this. One of the criminals who was hanging there was hurling abuse at him. This is one of the people on the cross next to Jesus. There was two people next to Jesus. Look at the difference in their responses. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other responded and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying this. It sounds like he maybe was even saying it over and over. He was saying this. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Then Jesus said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Did that thief have any time to change his life or get things straightened out? You know, I'm just going to start going to church next Sunday. You know, I'm going to start reading my Bible next week. He just simply turned to Jesus and said, remember me. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came, Jesus, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Does that abundant life happen only after we die? No. It happened. We are being transformed. It happens the moment we receive Christ. I'll close with this. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 20. This is one of my favorite verses, or chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and him with me. This is one of my favorite verses because I sometimes forget that Jesus is constantly knocking at my door, at my thick skull, to find rest for my weary soul, which I can tell you, it is weary. Unless I wake up and call on the Lord and sing these songs and get in the Word, my soul is weary. Because there's not a lot of good news out there today. But the good news is that we have life abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, we'll close with that. We're going to give an invitation if anybody wants to, you know, come up and share or pray or make a decision. We're going to sing a song. I want to give you guys an opportunity to do that. We have, you know, Jesus is calling us. Come to me. I do want to sing that song one more time if you guys all have that, if you don't mind. Do you guys still have your paper? And I want to listen to you guys sing it because my voice is loud in my ear. I want to sing this one real quick before you close with that. I'll stand next to you. Oh. Do you want to turn me down a little bit so that I can hear everybody else? You got it ready? So whenever you're feeling tired and weary, go to Matthew chapter 11 and read those words. But pull out your song and sing it and feel your soul being refreshed. Ready? Come to me and you'll find rest. Learn from me, and you'll find rest. Let all who toil with burdened souls come to me, come to me. Take my yoke upon you, my burden is light, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Sing Trust and Obey, invitation song, and if you... Oh, you can't hear?